Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, and lots of economic events today that is happening and unfolding as we speak, or as I speak. Today is Monday, February 3rd, 2014. Once again, thank you and welcome to the program. If you'd like to call in today, we have a toll-free number, 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Where's your money working for you? And certainly not in Wall Street today, but first, before we get to Wall Street, let's talk about gold today. You have gold up $12 off its high, though, $12.59. You have silver up 21 at $19.47. Platinum was up 12 at $13.91, and palladium was down 1 at $7.05. The USDX today is trading softer, down 0.23 at 81.02. Crude oil today was down almost a dollar at 96.65. And let's get to the big markets today, the paper markets. It'll probably settle a few ticks here, but you had the Dow down almost a little over 2%, down 325 points today at 15,376. The NASDAQ almost 2.75%, down 107 at 39.96. That's a weird number. 39.96.96, breaking that 4,000 level. The S&P down 40 points, down 2.25% at 17.41. Good news. The good news, if there is good news, the 10-year yield dropped a little bit. So for those of you who are still buying mortgages, 2.58%, down 0.09. So, Al, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Melody.
Interesting day in the markets.
Been an interesting day. It's really been an interesting month. Dow is down over 1,000 points in the last 30 days.
Yes. So it slid 2% in this afternoon trading, and they're basing it on the week report about manufacturing.
That's a bunch of crap.
Hey, I even heard profit. People are profit-taking, and of course, the manufacturing that supposedly rattled the investors is all based on bad weather.
See, when they give you a specific explanation for whatever causes the market to move in a particular day, and they say, well, it's because of the weather, or it's because of the job report, or something else. All right, that's the reason. Well, tomorrow that reason won't exist. All right, and in theory, the market, what we've seen is just a temporary aberration because of some specific event. And as soon as that event is over, then the aberration should end. The stock should go back to where it belongs. It inspires a certain amount of confidence to claim that the decline was caused by a single event. But what I think we're looking at, again, the market's down about 1,000 points, a little over 1,000 points in the last 30 days, the Dow. I think we're looking at a turn. I think we've seen a significant turn in economic events, at least market events, in the last month or 6 weeks. During that time, price of gold has increased at least 4 out of 5 weeks or 5 out of 6, I don't recall clearly. But at the same time, the Dow has been on average sliding down. Price of gold on average has been going up. So we'll watch and see, but I don't think this coincidence, gold going up at the same time the Dow is going down, I don't think it is a coincidence. I think it's evidence of a change in people's psychology. We've been telling people on the program for, I don't know, at least years. A month or two. I don't know, well, years maybe, but at least a month or two. Look, gold is down at a bottom. It's the time to buy, and some of them are clearly taking that advice, and they're saying, you know, I think gold is at a bottom. I think I'm going to buy. And at the same time, we've pointed out that the Dow has been at a record high. We emphasize buy low and sell high for your fundamental investment strategy. That tells us that gold is a candidate to be purchased at this time because the price is low. And at the same time, because the Dow has been at or near record highs, it tells us, doesn't necessarily have to be God's truth, but it tells us because the price is at or near record highs, this is not the time to buy. Well, you buy low and you sell high, this is the time to sell. So I think we're just seeing a natural reflection of buy low, sell high.
Well, I think what we're also seeing, we had global stocks, they fell. And of course, it was due to the manufacturing sectors, both in the U.S. and China. And of course, both China and the U.S. are the top two economies. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. survey showed that the ISM index fell to 51.2 points from 56.5 the previous month. And of course, that's what they're blaming on the cold weather. But you did have markets drop all over the world. In addition to the manufacturing, you had construction spending. That was sluggish. It only rose modestly in December. That slowed, and the construction spending increased just 0.1%, down from a revised 0.8% increase in November. You had GM and Ford Motors. Both of them reported a sharp drop in U.S. sales last month. And, of course, they're talking about the harsh weather that kept customers out of dealerships. And you had the GM sales. They fell 12% in January, while Ford slid 7%. And what's interesting is Chrysler actually bucked the trend, and they actually rose 8% last month. So an Italian company, mm-hmm. Don't forget, an Italian company is doing better.
It's because
than
Chrysler
US.
Now has Italian know-how.
Yeah.
Get the Italians in here. Show us how to run an economy. The Italians know how to do it.
But you did have the Britain's FTSE. That fell 0.7% or 0.7%. You had the France's the CAC, that dropped 1.4%. Germany's DAX, they shed 1.3%. And you had the Nikkei, they dropped. Actually, the Nikkei, the Tokyo Stock Exchange, closed down 2% overnight. And there were a lot of Asian markets that were closed, too. There was quite a few that were closed. So, I mean, you have world markets that are dropping. I mean, you saw Tokyo's, their index over 2013. their index surged by almost 60%. And but why?
Yeah, I understand. That's an interesting question.
Why? I'll tell you why. Because they put $2 trillion into their economy. And, you know, I mean, you throw enough money at it. You know, they picked a central bank leader who's not afraid to spend money. He's not afraid to print money. And when you throw enough money at it, you know, they're using a very aggressive monetary policy. So, yeah, they're going to have major, major gains as part
for
of
a while.
For a while.
That's exactly right. These are all temporary, illusory, and they're based on something other than the reality of supply and demand. They're based on artificial stimulation that's been caused by government. And it's happening in Japan, and it's been happening here in the United States and a number of other countries besides. They have this idea that they can just push, they can print these fiat dollars or pesos or yen, and they can simply inject them into the economy, and it's like giving people a dose of crack. Well, it may have, you know, for some people that's a great feeling for a while. But you keep taking enough crack and you're going to die. And we are at a point where some people realize we have had about enough crack. And maybe it's time to withdraw, go through the difficult period of withdrawing from all of this stimulation and get back to a real world where we do not, where we're not foolish enough to allow government to persuade us to engage in a consumer economy. Where we can all we have to do is just consume things, and somehow, as long as we keep buying things, the global economy will stay strong. And it's great for us. All we have to do is shop till we drop. Well, guess where we are today, Melody? We're at the drop point. You understand? We used to be at the shop point, but now we're at the drop point. Can't continue. You have to make at least as much as you consume. You can't live in an economy that's based on consumption rather than production. At minimum, you have to produce as much as you consume. Ideally, you produce more, and then you have things to sell, and you can even generate a profit. The whole idea of consumer economy is stupid, and we are coming to a moment where America in general is going to be forced to recognize that. And a lot of people are going to be screaming and they're saying, oh my gosh, I want to go out and buy myself a new pair of shoes and a hat, you know, and a belt and a purse. I want to buy all these things and I want to shop, shop, shop. Sorry, too late. You missed your opportunity. We have passed the shop point. We're at the drop point. And now there's going to be, you know, a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth when people are forced to understand the harsh reality of life, that if you want to eat, you got to work. That's going to be a shock for people. I was talking, matter of fact, when I went to church yesterday, our minister was talking about it. He has, during the day, during the week, he's an executive in a cement manufacturing business. And he had an employee that came up to him and told him he didn't want to work there anymore. He was quitting. He said, you guys work too hard. He says, I don't want to work that hard. And he explained to him how he could get $36,000 a year in welfare and support. If he works the system right now, he can quit, kick back, and get $36,000 a year for sitting on his butt and staying home and watching TV. Now, that guy is, he thinks he's playing the system and he's getting over, and he is right now. But the day is coming when he's going to be glad to have a job if all it means is repairing bicycle wheels in his garage for a buck an hour. He's going to be forced to learn that you can't get $36,000 a year for doing nothing, at least not for long, not indefinitely, not, you know, not forever. Some people have done it for some period of time, and all it's done is degrade this country. It's not compassionate. It's stupid. You understand? You can't make welfare. You can't make living on welfare so attractive that people want to be there. I can understand welfare where people are having a difficult time, and it makes sure that they've got something to eat. It makes sure they've got something to stay. I get that. But welfare is not about including free cell phones and trips to the Super Bowl. And that's where some people think it should go. Well, we're coming to a moment when that mentality is going to be flushed out of this country. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're describing problems with markets around the world right now, or at least you were, Melody. What's that suggest?
Well, it's suggesting what it is the Federal Reserve, is, of course, we're tightening up our monetary policy. And, of course, you have all these emerging countries that are having major problems, not only violence, but you have Turkey, you have Argentina. They're having monetary policy problems, the currency problems. They wake up and they learn from the U.S. in the middle of the night. They increase their rates up just to, you know, to put a bottom in on their currency that was dropping considerably. So I think what you're having is and what we've had in the past 5-6 years, Al, we've had the Federal Reserve pumping money into these markets around the world, and when we stop, the rest of the world stops.
I understand that. So what are we looking at, a global recession or a global depression? We're certainly seeing a global recession. We're certainly seeing enough evidence to think we are in another bout of global recession.
Mm-hmm.
That evidence is here. It's not proof. We don't know that for an absolute fact, but it looks like we are at minimum a global recession. The question is, are we on the verge of slipping into a true depression, or have we already done so?
I think we slipped into something that hasn't been defined yet. I mean, we use old terms. We use depression, recession. But I don't think what is happening to the world has ever been done on this. I mean, it's never been to this scale.
I agree with that.
And so I don't think you can tag those terms. There's places you're going to have depressions. Other places you'll have recessions.
That's an average.
You're going to have incredible inflation in other places. I still think inflation will rule. Because these governments still need it, that argument will not go away. As long as you have a fiat currency, inflation is here to stay, and it will grow, and people will lose purchasing power. They will lose. They are being their money is being stolen. They're being robbed, and it's as simple as that. And the markets are certainly very complex when you try to follow the money, and you know everybody acts like they know what's happening and so forth. But when you have these central banks doing what they're doing, I'm sorry, it's too complex, I believe, for Ben Bernanke.
Easy descriptions.
Yeah, and Ben Bernanke. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he stepped down, and he's already got a job, but we'll talk about him in a little bit. But
what is he? Is he going to be a greeter at Walmart or what, Melody?
That's what he should.
Probably so. I don't think he wants to get that close to the public, at least not in the near future.
No, he's actually...
Somebody's liable to figure he's responsible for what's coming.
He's actually joining the Brookings Institution.
I understand.
It is a Washington think tank.
It's about time. After 8 years off, now he can start thinking. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. We will be back on Financial Survival. Just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief Formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to tell the listeners, on Friday we made the announcement that Lori Roth was going to be here today, but because of the markets dropping as they did, we did reschedule her for Wednesday. And we'll see what the markets are doing come Wednesday, but she is rescheduled. So.
Okay. All right, well, what's next?
Well, we were talking about the world, whether is it in a depression or is it in a recession, and you believe that we've never actually come out.
Never recovered from the 2007-2008 recession. They claim recovery, but there's been a recovery, but it's only for maybe the top 25% of the American people. 75% of the American people have not participated in that alleged recovery. All right. And if you're going to have a real recovery, you got to bring everybody into it, or at least the majority of people have to be included, and they're not. Their standards of living are falling. They have difficult time finding employment and so on. They're still in the recession minimum. The question is, are we really in a recession right now? Is that where we are? Or are we on the verge of a national or global depression, or are we in something else? Where are we, Melody, right now? Recession, depression, what?
Well, I think we're to the point of, I don't think it's going to be overnight, of course, but I do believe this is the beginning of it is a world correction. It is a world collapse. It will be a reality does win. I mean, reality does follow through, and reality does peak, and everything follows thereafter. So I believe we're looking at a world collapse of currencies and economies.
And what's the common denominator?
Fiat currencies.
Exactly right. Every country you can point to that's having a problem right now is using a fiat currency. All right, they are spinning this stuff out of thin air, and they are bamboozling people. We have functioned like trout in a stream where the government has, they keep on flipping these lures out there, and we keep rising to the bait, and it's not even a real bug. Plus, it's got a hook in it. Well, I think the fish are waking up to that fact, and they say, I don't want any more of those damn, those little furry things. They look good, but I don't think that's real. We've gone for it, and we've played the fool, and we're going to pay the fool's price. A lot of us are. But we're going to learn in the process, and we will hope for a while at least we won't make the same mistake again, hopefully. I've got a caller from West Virginia, Jim. Shall we take Jim's call now, Melody?
That'll be great.
All right, Jim, what you got for us?
Well, y'all were talking about definitions and such as that. If you correct it for inflation, we've been in depression for at least a year or two. If you correct it now... Yeah, a lot of times we tend to pay attention to currencies and commodities and securities, money stuff, all right? But if you look at some of the, I'll call it real economy, last economics book I read was in the 80s. I'm not talking about textbook. I think that was my soul. Last time I paid much attention to numbers, and they don't stick in my head anymore. I just kind of forget it. It was the 90s. But if you look at the real output, you know, bales of cotton, tons of steel, barrels of oil, whatever, timber, board feet of lumber. The real economy has been sliding for about 40 years, all right? The only thing which has really grown has been defense industry stuff. Prison industries, look at Corrections Corporation of America, they make car parts and slave labor inside of the prisons. The economy is totally skewed because of governmental regulations. There was that study done which says that our standard of living would be five times better if we didn't have all these stupid regulations. I had three businesses. The government destroyed two of them through sweeping court decisions, which just wiped out everybody in my end of the technical world. They refused to do what they were supposed to do, so somebody stole a bunch of my property because the government wouldn't do what it's supposed to do. The number one cause of poverty is government, and this has been true all over the world through most of time. Now, what's going to happen is this. Yeah, I know a little bit of history. In the most general terms, the whole system's going to come apart. The sheep are going to turn on the wolves. There will be, I'm just hoping and praying. I'm a pacifist. That means I don't start fights. I'm doing everything I can to get the police and the military to stand with the people to minimize the violence. There will be a return to the production of food, fuel, fiber, okay, materials, tools, finished goods, and services. The whole system's going to come apart and go back together. The question is when and how violently. But when you look at the real economy, in other words, the number of houses actually started this, that, and the other. Of course, there are bubbles up and down with the finance rates, interest, what have you. But when you look at the overall production, we have been in trouble for a very long time. It used to be that you could support a family of four comfortably on 40 hours of work a week.
Yep.
Now, to produce the same standard of living, of course, it's kind of hard to compare from half a century ago now. Now, it's like 100-so hours a week. It's kind of hard to, well, back then they looked at the number of TVs you have. Now, I guess they look at the number of computers or something. But the bottom line is you just look around. When I was growing up, I'm 62, the houses were well painted. You didn't find boarded-up storefronts.
Yep.
People talk about growth in the economy. Oh, look at the new box store. That's not growth in the economy. That's a sideways move from little mom and pops over to Walmart. And a lot of mom and pops were overcharging, and I guess it's time for them to go. But an awful lot of them, it's a situation where the big box store comes in, undersells, and then after all the mom and pops run out, they jack their prices up.
There's another point. There's another important point, though, to the mom and pops.
Yeah.
I don't know that they were overcharging per se, but clearly Walmart could deliver a cheaper price than the same product. But the difference is this. Mom and pop spent their money in the local community. And Walmart takes the profit and sucks it out of the local community and takes it back wherever Walmart takes the money. It doesn't spend it in the local community. It's profits. And that drain of profits is debilitating.
That's true, but, here's the point. I'm in West Virginia. First of all, it's an anti-business state. It's the only state in the union which has dropped in population since I was born. But you'll have little towns in West Virginia, and there'll be a couple of different people who will supply, say, building materials, and both of them collude quietly. Oh, yeah. Okay, it takes them an hour to drive to wherever, so we can jack it up that. There were a number of those, and they're gone, and that's good. But most of the mom-and-pop operations were run out of business by government regulation.
Yeah.
A restaurant in Fayette County, West Virginia, Wendy's moved in, and the nice lady almost across the street said the health inspectors were there about every 3 days. Unannounced, the guy, I don't remember who it was, worked at Wendy's, and they said, oh, yeah, we know when the health inspectors are coming. Every single law, code, regulation, rule, mandate, directive, decision, procedure, precedent is set up to extract as much as possible from the governed by the governing. And eventually, I mean, the predators are going to fall. Okay, that's another thing. Under classic economics, the gross national product is the output of the private sector. That's real economic growth. It does not include government spending, because government does not produce food, fuel, you know, what have you. But then they say, oh, we'll just put the government spending in there so it will look like the economy is increasing. That's all place. Bleep, 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 bleep.
And it'll also justify government spending.
Oh, absolutely.
It justifies it in a way where they're going to sit back and say, we're helping the economy.
Yeah.
Well, under those circumstances, people are a little more flexible. Well, I guess you could raise taxes if it's going to be used to stimulate the economy.
Yeah, well, great.
Truth
school
is,
economics.
It's insane. But, yeah.
Yeah, grade school economics. My parents learned by the time they were out of grade school, born in 1912, good school system. Okay, where they were. Okay, all wealth is ultimately dug out of or grown out of the ground. This is why we call it real estate. This is why wars are for land. Now, you create wealth and you take something of little or no value and increase its value as a result of human endeavor. Words of Adam Smith. Also, the value is determined by what a willing buyer and a willing seller are willing to trade for at a particular time. Somebody with a uniform on comes up to you, sticks a gun in your face and says, give me your dough, we're going to use 0.5% of it to build a road. That is not proper value. This is, I mean, that's called theft. Okay, when I was a kid, for instance, my parents told me that a criminal was anybody who took control of that which was not his. This was learned at age 3, having to do with me playing with my sister's toys when she was at school. And I remember the incident because she was very angry. And I was almost 4 years old, but she reminded me of it. Now, when I went to school, they said a criminal was anybody who broke the law.
No, I understand. Okay. And you know what's a good example of that right now? How about the debt ceiling that's coming up? We've got a debt ceiling that's coming up that's 17. Right now, the debt ceiling is $17.2 trillion, which is essentially the national debt.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen? They're going to increase the debt ceiling, but what is the true size of the national debt? According to John Williams, it's close to $90 trillion. According to the Congressional Budget Office, including unfunded liabilities, it's over $200 trillion. The point, then, is the government has been spending money in excess of $17.2 trillion. They've been spending money to go deeper and deeper into debt in violation of the debt ceiling law. That means all of this additional debt that they've piled up is a criminal act.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you another one.
Okay. Well, wait a second. I'll tell you. All right. You give him one more, Jim, and then we got to rule. One more.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. One more quick one. Okay. The criminal is anyone who takes control of that which is not his. Somebody has a power plant. EPA walks up and sticks a gun in their face and says, you're shutting it down. Who from you know where are they to do that? And the EPA has shut down the steel industry, a lot of the chemical industry. They've shut down God knows what else, lead smelting. I say it's time to shut down the EPA. Before it's all over, they're going to be bullets flying. You know that. I hate it, but it's true. We love you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for your call. What else do we have, Melody?
You know, you mentioned earlier about the, we're going to be talking about him. Well, let's get to the emerging.
Markets?
The emerging.
Contagion?
Yeah.
Article from the Times?
Yeah. Investors yanked about $6.3 billion from emerging market equity funds last week. What's interesting, that's the largest outflow on record in dollar terms. And for the whole month, you're looking probably about $10 to $11 billion that is flowing out of the emerging markets. But you often talked about how the emerging markets, all the money that has been, you know, coming out of this country is going, actually went into the emerging markets.
What I speculated on is the government was giving hundreds of billions of dollars to major banks in this country, and the purported purpose was so the banks would have cash to lend to American borrowers. But for whatever reason, the vast majority of the billions, and I think it was actually over $1 trillion, or maybe even 1.8, but I don't recall clearly. But the vast majority of the money that had been given to the banks never reached the American borrowers, either because the banks wouldn't lend it to them or because the borrowers were in no mood to go deeper into debt. And it was believed that all of that money sat in the bank vaults. But I've speculated for some time that what the banks did is they said, they didn't want to lend it to the American people at extremely and artificially low interest rates, but they could lend that same money to people in emerging markets and get fat interest rates. And the implication, if that speculation is correct, it means that all of this, that much, not all, much of the quantitative easing actually wound up fueling the growth in the emerging markets, which was very spectacular for a couple of years. And now we're cutting back on quantitative easing, and it may be, and perhaps raising the interest rates here in this country, and it means money is going to start flowing back into this country, and the emerging markets are going to have to make it on their own. And the point behind this, one of the points is people were thinking the emerging markets were strong and vibrant economies. And the truth may have been that they were getting stimulus from this country. We gave them the stimulus to grow. They had a couple of spectacular years because ultimately they were getting money that the Federal Reserve was giving the banks, and the banks wasn't dispersing it among the American people, sent it to the emerging markets. It's one of the reasons why if the Federal Reserve reduces quantitative easing, which is what they're doing, the real impact on the American people, it might be psychological, where they say, oh my gosh, we're not going to get quantitative easing. But we haven't had most of the quantitative easing for the past couple of years anyway. It's not going to hurt us. It will hurt the emerging markets. They're the ones that are likely to be clipped by this, and that appears to be, and that speculation appears consistent with what we see happening in the news right now. We've got a caller, Gregory from New York, and if you're listening, Gregory, why don't you hold on until we finish our next set of commercials, which will start in about 1 minute, and then we'll take your call when we return. Something you want to add, Melody?
No, it's interesting because these emerging markets, they're targeting five of them. You're looking at Turkey, South Africa, mm-hmm. Indonesia, Brazil, Argentina. You're right. And they need this foreign investment to continue. Mm-hmm. But it kind of makes me wonder, you have so much political turmoil in a lot of these countries. So is the unwinding being timed to coincide with all their political unrest?
Or is the unrest a consequence of the unwinding?
The unrest, right.
Yeah, which comes first, the stimulation or the aggravation? You know, it's hard to know. So, in any case, where are we for time? It's about time to take another commercial break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Country. countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom, Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Let's take our caller, Gregory from New York. Gregory, what have you got for us?
Hey, what's up, Al? What's up, Melody? You know, I just want to thank you for, you know, God bless you, you both, for what you're trying to do. I was going through some news in the Internet, and I found something a little disturbing. It says here, U.S. plane carrying weapons to Syrian terrorist lands in Jordan. Aren't these people like, aren't they like against, actually, in the end, wouldn't they turn on us anyway? I mean, we're trying to support them over there. I mean, not we, but, you know, the bankers and the politicians are supporting them. And I just wanted to get your views on that. What do you think? I mean, isn't that dangerous? I mean, aren't these people supposed to turn on anybody that's not, you know, what their fundamentalist beliefs, you know?
You shouldn't be surprised if you see that sort of reaction sooner or later. Politics right now it's all immediate. What's happening right now? And people don't seem to go into it with the idea of, what are we doing now that's going to affect what happens 6 months from now, 6 years from now, a decade from now? Nobody's taking a long view. They just take a short view, and it doesn't matter. We'll sell guns to Syria today, and we'll bomb Syria tomorrow. And what difference does it make?
You agree with me when I'm a little worried about that. Where I think that
I think it's foolish.
It's a little worrying. Are these people supposed to turn on us? You know, in the end, I mean,
We shouldn't be surprised. But the next question is, when you say turn on us, who do you mean? Are they going to turn on the American people, or are they going to turn on the American government?
You know, non-fundamentalist Muslims, you know, these people don't...
I get that.
It's their way or the highway. You know what I mean? Yeah. Call you Mr. Al. You know, it's their way or no. There's no democracy in these people's beliefs. It's either you accept this or you die. And
I understand that.
That's like giving a mentally ill person an AK-47. It looks like to me it's about the same thing. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I served in the military. I love the country. I was willing to give my life for the country. But I don't know. It's just a little worrying that to me. You know, I just wanted to get your view on it. But it seems you agree with me.
My view is Washington was right. George Washington advised us to stay the heck out of foreign entanglements. And he was absolutely right. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care what goes on in Syria. I don't care what goes on over in Japan and the little islands between them and China. This is not my problem. My problem, from my perspective, is the 50 states that comprise the United States of America, and all I want to do is protect that, and the rest of the world can do whatever it wants as long as it doesn't mess with us, and if it does, then they can expect something incoming. Other than that,
yeah, I agree
do what
you
want.
Yeah.
Keep us away. We'll stay out of your problems. You stay out of ours. We'll deal with them. We'll handle our own problems. You handle yours. We've come so entangled in all of this that now how do we disentangle? We're caught. We're caught in a web of our own making right now, and we can't easily just back out of this. And I don't think anyone really knows what to do except try to hang on for another day or two, or another week or two, and try not to get blamed for whatever's going on right now. It's strange, Gregory, and it's not comfortable. And who can solve it? Who has brains enough to solve this problem right now?
I know one entity that can solve it. It's a GOD.
I agree.
That's just me. That's just what I believe, you know.
No, I agree with you 100%. And other than that, I don't think there's going to be a solution. These problems will continue. And sometimes you sit back and say, look, we can't handle the world's problems. It's not our job. Just bring it back here, establish your borders, maintain the borders. We have sufficient resources, have sufficient people, build our own computers, build our own cars, go our way, let the rest of the world go its way, and just don't mess with us. My perspective, that would make good sense. In the New World Order, with global government, that doesn't make sense. They want the whole world integrated in a way where everybody's problem is everybody's problem, and God. Terrible situation, Gregory, but who knows? We may turn this around, yet people turn back to the good Lord. They get their heads screwed on straight. They begin to see the trouble and understand causes, and we may get a good solution before this is done. I'm not going to bet on it. I'll bet we go through big trouble before we get smart. And we shall see. Prepare for the trouble. If you are smart, in my opinion, you'll see the trouble coming and prepare for it. If you're not smart, you're going to get the trouble, and then you will get smart, or you will have, maybe you won't be here anymore. I don't know, but so got to get smart. Gregory, anything else you want to add? Okay, Gregory has he's gone. All right, thank you, Gregory. We appreciate your call. Melody, something you want to add?
Yeah, you know, well, I don't want to add anything on to Syria. Yeah, we're in places we shouldn't be, but, you know, and there will be, the day of reckoning is coming for all the bad decisions and all the things that we have done. And again, preparing. But one of the funniest things that I've seen so far, I mean, it's just like, you got to be kidding me, Elizabeth Warren. She's a Democrat out of where, Massachusetts. I believe she ended up with Kennedy's spot. After that one fellow. But anyway, she supports an idea that would allow the U.S. Postal Service into financial services. So then not only would they just deliver mail, that they would become involved in loans and different type of bank financial cash checking or check cashing. I mean, it's like
check cashing.
Yeah, check cashing, payday loans. She sees this as an area for the Postal Service to get a foothold in order to see people have some access to affordable and fair financial services.
Oh yeah.
My question is, if they want the Postal Service to give affordable and fair financial services, then what's the bank down the street doing?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not fair and financial.
They
don't need to be.
All they're trying to do is find a way where the post office can make a buck off these payday loans.
Yeah.
All right. And similar services that are being provided to essentially lower class and poor people. And they're going to these little payday loan places, and they've got a check and a check cashing place because they don't have their own bank accounts and so on. And the post office would say, look, there's a buck to be made here. Let's move in on it. Let's get it for ourselves and get it for the government. My big thought is it already takes some time to stand in line at the post office, now, at least in the cities where I live. And I imagine it's the same in many of the other communities in this country. How fast is post office service going to be once they start handing, once they start dealing with cashing checks and making loans, for God's sake? What would you need to get a loan out of the post office, Melody? A zip code? Huh? What evidence is?
Well,
She
thinks they could partner with banks to make a difference for the million. There are 68 million Americans who have no checking or savings account. They don't rely on any banking financial service.
Which means they're not putting their money where it can be easily seized. They're not paying fees and fines, penalties and so on that help enrich the banking industry. So something's got to be done about that 68 million people.
And those people are
a fair share to the bankers.
They're private. They can't get any information on these people. They just know there's a bunch of them. So, it's control. It's tracking.
It's just chasing the dollars, chasing the almighty dollar. That's what it is. Yep. I don't know if you remember I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but the movie, it's a mad, 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 mad world. From back in the 70s, it's had a number of comedians in it, Jonathan Winters and Sid Caesar and, Buddy Hackett, the Schnoz, I can't even think of his name anymore. A bunch of comedians.
Schnoz?
Yeah, the Schnoz, Jimmy Durante. That was his nickname,
Jimmy.
The Schnoz.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy Durante. Anyway, it was just the story of all these people chasing dollars. Whatever it was, something like that. I
remember. And there was
Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Calabash, that's
it. Yeah. I remember seeing him when I was a kid on TV and whatever. I never saw him live, but whatever. In any case, it's a comedy. It's funny. But it's about people chasing this bag of dollar bills were buried in the park someplace, trying to find it, keep it for themselves, and not let any of the rest of them have it. And they all come to trouble. And in the end, even though it's a comedy, there's a certain amount of truth, and there's a moral there that people might, if they watched the movie and they were not simply paying attention to the comedy, they might get the moral. And there's a danger in unearned money, and it's hard to believe, every one of us, well, just about every one of us, but the vast majority, given the opportunity to get some free money, we're there. Okay, free lunch, free money, free whatever, we're there. Okay? But the truth of the matter is it's always dangerous. It always leads to a moral, it generally leads to a moral breakdown. You get to where you feel the only way you can survive is getting something for free. You lose your capacity for independence. You lose your capacity to produce enough to keep you going. You become just a pure consumer and does not bode well for you, doesn't bode well for the nation. A lot of it seems like a compassionate idea. Yeah, but it's really just a bunch of nonsense, and people wind up being hurt badly. Wind up being hurt badly. Our nation is in deep, deep trouble right now. There's good reason to believe that there's no gold left in Fort Knox or in the U.S. Treasury. They keep it in a couple of places. I think some of it's at the New York Federal Reserve, vault of the New York Federal Reserve. Some is at West Point, and some is at Fort Knox, allegedly. Good reason to believe most, maybe all of it is gone. We got, what's this going to mean to this country, assuming it turns out that statement is roughly correct? What's going to happen to the United States and its position in the world, its credit rating, its ability to borrow money? What's going to happen if it turns out, guess what? The government secretly disposed of all or virtually all of our gold. What will that mean? Does anyone know? You would think that the government, if it was going to get rid of our gold, it would at least tell us. But now they're in a position where they can't tell us. They're going to try to stonewall and try to conceal the loss or theft or whatever happened. And then what? we no longer have a government per se. We have a gang that's running this country. Thus, it's not of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's of the gang, by the gang, and for the gang. And the people are just being hustled and conned, impoverished, deprived of rights and freedoms. And somehow, someone thinks this is going to work out all right, and I think they're crazy. There's got to be a significant reversal, a significant change. We're going to have to go back to a world where a whole bunch of people, no matter how much they scream, they're not entitled to welfare and they're not entitled to subsidies. You're going to have to make it on your own if you can, good. And if you can't, too bad for you. But we can't take the money primarily from the middle class. We've about exhausted our middle class. And what's left is a couple percent at the top that are rich, an increasing number of people down at the bottom who are barely getting by. Middle class is the engine. The middle class was therefore the target. They're the ones that made most of the money. They're the ones that earned most of the money. And they're the ones who have been predated upon by both the super rich and by the poor by means of the government.
Well, what's interesting now is that money that the middle class made is sitting in retirement funds, is sitting in IRAs, is sitting in pension funds. They're not going to allow them to walk away with all of that.
They'll take any money they can find.
Take any money they can find.
If you're keeping your money, you're storing it, your wealth, not just your money, but your wealth, the excess. You earned so much over a period of life. You spent so much. There's a balance, positive balance. You have some wealth. If you're keeping that in a conventional bank account, you may be okay. But odds are the risk of doing so is growing. We're going to almost certainly see bail-ins, not just in Europe, but in this country, meaning the banks go broke. They have a problem. They will be allowed by law to take some or much of the money, maybe all of the money, that's been deposited with them by their depositors. Got money, got $10,000 in the bank? Maybe you'll get it out, maybe you won't. And the government, in the end, will take care of itself. Doesn't really care if you lose your house or can't feed your family. It doesn't care. It's more interested in maintaining the illusion that the government is solvent, and if they have to rob people, that's exactly what they will do. And at all points, it suggests that we may be coming to very difficult and dangerous times where it'll be a little bit of every man for himself, and if you have any savings and you want access to those savings, you're going to have to figure out a way to keep those savings on your own in a manner that's safe and something you can access if things get difficult. That means gold and silver. The clock means we're out of time. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Thank all of you for listening. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.